Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
What is it that you've talked to God about that he's spoken to you about and said, look, I want you to do this. And you have basically said to God, well, God, I can't do that. And he said, I know, that's why I'm telling you this. I want you to do this. I'm trying to move you out of your comfort zone. Connect with me above and let's get beyond what you are about and what you can do and ask me to do something that you can't do.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope and insight for you. And in today's broken world, that is something everyone is desperate to hear. Richard shares unapologetically the truth of the Bible in a way that's clear, relational, and uplifting. So thank you for taking this time to listen. We know it will bless you. And when you have a moment, you might want to check out our website so we can stay connected with you, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The message title today is Above and Beyond. And what I want to talk to you about is connecting with this God who is above in a whole other kingdom and moving you, when you connect with that God, beyond where you are. God is trying to get you to go above to Him and beyond where you are. Now, here's the question I want to pose to you today as we go through this and try to answer this for yourself. What is it in your life that God is doing that you could not do by yourself? What is it that you've talked to God about that He's spoken to you about and said, look, I want you to do this? And you have basically said to God, well, God, I can't do that. And He said, I know, that's why I'm telling you this. I want you to do this. You can't do it. And I'm trying to move you out of your comfort zone. Connect with me above and let's get beyond what you are about and what you can do and ask me to do something that you can't do. And there are days, and I share this with a few people and I'll tell you all this. There are days when I say, God, there is no way in the world I can do this. There is no way I can pastor this church. There is no way physically I can do it. There is no way mentally. There are smarter people. There are more educated people. There is no way in the world I can do this. And He keeps saying to me, Richard, you can't, but I can. Just keep thinking that way. But don't stop there. See, our problem is we think about what we're not and stop there instead of saying, well, God, I'm not what it takes, but you are what it takes, so I'm going to get above and beyond who I am and get to where you are and what you are and let you do what only you can do in and through me. There are some of you that God is moving somewhere to do something, and you know it in your head, you know it in your heart, and in some cases it is huge stuff. And you say, but I can't do it. And you don't even tell anybody what it is He's put in your heart. And this is not you making up stuff. And by the way, there is a huge difference in a good idea and a God idea. Don't go chasing good ideas, guys. You better make sure that what you're doing is a God idea, not a good idea. So don't just say, oh, I think I have a good idea and I'm going to go do this for God. You better make sure it's God who's had a good idea and it's a God idea and you are following Him. Don't find yourself leading God anywhere because you're not going to lead God anywhere. Find yourself following God and you'll be okay. So be still if you have to, wait if you have to. What is it we're doing as a church? What is it you're doing individually that you are not going to do by yourself unless God intervenes and makes it happen? Because it doesn't take any faith, guys, to live within your own sight. Some people say that seeing is believing. But the Bible says, basically, that believing is seeing in God's realm. It's not seeing is believing. If you wait till you see something, you'll never go anywhere. Sooner or later, you're going to find yourself somewhere where God speaks to you and says, you can't see it yet. It's not materialized yet. And if you will, turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. And some of you know it by heart, know exactly where it is and what it says, but some of you don't, so you need to see this. Some people ask me, what is faith? How do you define faith? The Bible has the best definition. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to start with verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives substance to things that you hope for, you don't have yet, and evidence of things that are not seen. And see, the fear is sometimes the enemy comes along and says, well, you've lost your mind. My responsibility is to do what God told me to do and let God do what only He can do, and that's bring the people. You say, well, I can't lead anybody to Christ. I can't save anybody. Well, it's a good thing you know that because you can't. But you can share with them and then let God do what only He can do and see their life changed. All right, flip back over to the Old Testament. And I want you to look at a few stories. Again, some of you will know these and some of you won't. And let's look at 1 Samuel 17. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but I recommend that you go back and read 16 and then the first part of 17. There's a guy in the Old Testament called David. He became king, and at this point in his life, he's just a kid. He's a teenage kid. He had been anointed king, but he hadn't been made king. It wouldn't happen for about 14 years. And there is this war going on, this battle against the Philistines and God's people. And David is kind of going back and forth. He's not big enough to be at the battle. His three older brothers are there. And David couriers food and cheese and stuff, bread, back and forth from his father's house to this battlefield. And this goes on and on, back and forth, back and forth. We'll look down in verse 20. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. Jesse's his dad. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. They're screaming, doing their guy thing out there fighting. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. And they got upset because he wasn't supposed to be down there. Verse 23, then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. And what was happening, the armies would engage, but every once in a while, this 9-foot giant would come out of the army and say, okay, here's a new deal. If anybody can take me, one-on-one combat, if you take me out, all of us will serve you, but if we beat whoever you bring out, all of you will serve us. Okay, that was his deal. And then nobody would take him up on it, and they'd fight some more. But David happened to be on the battlefield one day when this giant steps forward and threatens the armies of God. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Now, I've heard sermons, guys, and I don't want to stretch this thing too far. I mean, this is a giant. His name is Goliath, and that's the actual story. But everybody's got a giant. Everybody in this room has had, does have, or will have a giant. You got something you cannot get rid of. For some people, it's alcoholism. For some people, it's heroin. For some people, it's greed. For some people, it's pride. For some people, it's some kind of sexual addiction or activity. And there's this thing, this person in your life that keeps showing up. And every time you see him, you run in dread and fear and go, oh my gosh, I can't do this. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give him his father's house, exemption from taxes in Israel. That'd be a reason to fight him right there. You don't have to pay taxes. Verse 26, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, now listen to what David says. Now guys, this is some little kid. You've got to start thinking differently. If all you do is look at the giants in your life and the enemy in your life, and you never get beyond the enemy and you never see God, you're never going to see what God can do. You're only going to see what the enemy can do to you and what you can or can't do to the enemy. And when you see the enemy, that's all you see, you turn around and run. And there are people that are listening to this message who have been running since the day the problem hit. And God is trying to get you to look at Him, not the problem, and say, look, you and I can deal with this, but you by yourself cannot. And this little kid shows up on the battlefield. Here's this Philistine, and this is what he says. Then David spoke to the men who stood by, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who does he think he is? And why are you putting up with this man who comes out here and defies the armies of the living God? He didn't just say God, he says the living God. David knew his God was alive and well, and that that uncircumcised Philistine was no match for God. He was any match for anybody on the battlefield. Nobody would take him on. We spend too much time looking at the enemy, the problem, instead of saying, you know what? I've got a God in heaven, a living God who can take care of you. You say, well, that's positive thinking. It is nothing to do with positive thinking. It is powerful thinking based on a person, not just your ability. Now, God may use who you are, and in a second you'll see how God used David and his abilities and his training. Guys, at some point, you got to take who you are and what you've got and what you're not and show up before God and say, look, I may not be as smart or as strong or as tall or whatever it is everybody else is, but I can tell you this, God, I believe you're a living God and I am willing to be used, and I think all heaven breaks loose. And there are people today who have money, there are churches today who have money, and this is what concerns me. Now, I'm not saying I'm anti-money. But something concerns me that the day would come when we'd have too much money and you could write a check and fix something instead of pray to God and see something happen. What is it that's going on in your life that is not going to go away unless God intervenes? What is it that you are attempting for God because God has put it in your heart to do that if He doesn't come through, you're in some deep sushi? It's better than the other way we could have gone. Again, let me read this. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, verse 26, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. And his older brother gets mad, and what are you doing up here? You're proud and insolent in heart, for you've come down to see the battle. You can't stay with the sheep. You have to come up here and make trouble. They're jealous because, number one, he got picked by the prophet to be king. Verse 29, and David said, what have I done now? I mean, he's like the younger brother in this thing. Well, now what have I done? You know, you're always, when you're the little kid, you ask that a lot. Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. These people answered him as the first ones did. Everybody's terrified of this giant. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul. He's the king, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fall because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. Who does this kid think he is? He's seen the giant. He's heard his threats. And if you see here in a minute, this giant comes out with a weaver's beam of a spear, this cape thing that you could throw over kind of like a chain link fence almost. I mean, this guy comes out and is a shield bearer. This is a guy that just carries this giant shield. And David's seen this guy. Who do you think you are? Nobody by yourself. But if you have a living God who can move and make things happen, guys, you got everything. I'm going to tell you why it is so tough for sophisticated rich people to ever get it. Because we don't need God. We got our jobs, we got our cars, we can do our own thing. We really don't need God. Now, if somebody gets sick and all the science falls apart, we need God all of a sudden. But you know what? Poor people need God all the time. There are days I think it's easier to be poor and ignorant because you got nowhere else to turn but God. You say, well, that's a crutch. No, I've said it before, it's a stretcher. And see, the poor know they need it. The rich people just think they don't. Jesus never said the rich couldn't get in the kingdom of heaven. He just said it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. And they said, well, then who can get in? See, nobody could get in then. He said, with man, things are impossible. With God, anything's possible. Part of the challenge in a neighborhood like this, and part of the reason people have to go so far in a city like this with so much materialism and so much pain and with so much gain and all this stuff, they have to go farther before they fall off a cliff and then do something about it. Because we got so many things we've got that keep us going. This giant relied on his size, he relied on his armor, he relied on all of his stuff, but he had never factored in a living God and a kid who believed that God could do something. I look over at verse 36. David has told the king about lions and bears that he's killed. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. This made David hot. This Philistine has not challenged this army alone, or just me. He's challenged the God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. And David starts putting all, now listen to this, and I don't want to go too far with this, but Saul starts putting all of his armor on David. Don't let people put their stuff on you. You find out what your stuff is and let God use that, and you do what God made you to do. Saul started putting his helmet and his sword, strapping it to all this little kid, and he had never worn armor like that. And he tried to take a few steps, it says, and figure out what it felt like. He's like, I can't wear this. This isn't me. I know preachers, and this was one of the things that drives me nuts. I'll be standing, I'll meet some preacher, I'll be talking to him, and he's just a normal person in a conversation. And then he gets up in the pulpit, and you're like, who is that? And God is a three-syllable word, and it's all this stuff. And then he gets done preaching, and he comes down, and he's just like himself. I'm like, where did you go? What, are you possessed or something? And I've told preacher friends, I said, look, man, don't put all that junk on you. You're getting up there doing what somebody else did, trying to be somebody else other than yourself. Just be yourself so that you're the same person at work or at a Bible study or playing paintball or whatever you're doing. Be yourself. Stop trying to put yourself in somebody else's mode. Let God be who He is in and through you. You don't need all this stuff. God has equipped you to do whatever it is He's asked you to do. Does everybody understand that? God will never call you to go do something, even if it seems impossible, unless He equips you to do it, and He'll back you up. One of the worst things about being in business, as I know personally, is to have lack of funding, to not have someone behind you. And when you go do stuff for God and God's in it and He sends you guys, you've got funding, you've got backing, you've got the deepest pockets in the universe. It doesn't run out. And He's not going to send you out to do something that He's not going to go with you and back you and be the supply line for if you'll trust Him and obey Him. So verse 39, David fastened his sword to his armor, tried to walk. And David said to Saul, I can't walk with these, for I'm not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, this little shepherd's staff, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in his shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him, and the Philistine looked about and saw David. He disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Ever been cussed out by somebody for standing up for God? If you haven't, it'll happen. And you don't back up. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You haven't defied just an army or just me. You have defied my God. And I come to you in His name. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. I had some old girlfriends say things like that to me, but that was it. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. What is the purpose for the whole thing? It's in the end of 46. And guys, this is my goal, and this ought to be your goal and our goal as a church. The whole purpose is at the end of verse 46, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. It is about pointing people to God. It's not about having some miracle happen. Everybody look at the miracle. Everything that God is about is to point people to Him, not to what happened. That's what God's after. And God's after that in your life, and He's after that in my life. But you're going to have to get above with Him, and you're going to have to get beyond who you are and what you think you can or can't do. And test Him and try Him. And when He speaks to you, take a step of faith. There's example after example. Moses putting his staff in the sea and at parting. Every one of these examples, there was a step of faith. You have to take a step and do something. Flip over to James, and we may just shut it down with this. James chapter 2, at the end of the chapter, verse 26, and you can go back and read this on your own, but verse 26 says this, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And up in a verse before that, look back up in verse 19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. I talk to people when I'm witnessing to people, trying to share the gospel with people, tell them about heaven, eternity, and all these things. They say, well, I believe in God, and I quote this verse. I say, well, you're in good company. The demons in hell believe in God and tremble at His name. So let's take it a little beyond that. Believing in God is not enough. The devil trembles at the God of the universe. You believe in God, that's great, but you don't, man, oh foolish man, that faith without works is dead. Now, what does that mean? You believe all this stuff about God, you read all these promises from God, but if you don't apply it to your life and step out and say, you know what? God said this to me, I'm going to test it and take a step of faith and go do what He's told me to do. You say, what if I fail? It ain't about you failing, guys. It's about God failing. You fail if you don't step out in faith. I don't know if this makes sense. I sure hope it does, because it'll change your life. You can have all the intentions, have all the ideas. I'm going to go start a church, go do this. You know what? Until somebody takes a step of faith and acts, nothing happens. And it's not just about starting a church. It's about your life. It's what I talked about, a Bible study thing in your office. If something inside of you stirred, and it's like God said, that's you. Your office is dark. Your office doesn't have a light there. Your office, there's nothing going on. You're it. Your heart started to beat and race, and God was saying, just trust me. Just ask. Just find a place. And you go in, and what is like killing Goliath to you, stepping into human resources or wherever and just saying, is there a room we can use for our own time at lunch and do a Bible study in the office during the week? And they say, yes. One giant falls. And you put the word out to some people you know, and they put the word out. And before you know it, you've got a room gathered with people who are praying to a living God, and their lives are being changed. And you know why it happened? Because one person got above and beyond what they were doing and stepped out in faith and saw their life affected, but the lives of everybody around them. Now see, some of you got bigger giants. Some of you got family stuff. That's huge stuff that doesn't seem to fall. It just defies you. Begin to pray and say, God, what is it you want to do in me and through me that will not happen in my own strength? You're going to have to do it. Some of it's ministry oriented for you. Some of you guys got great ideas about ministry. You're waiting on me to do it. You know what? It ain't going to happen. I am not going to come up with everything our church does, and I'm not going to do everything our church does. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do what God puts in your heart. We're going to confirm that it's Him, and we're going to get behind you and help you accomplish what He's put in your heart. You say, but I can't do it. You're exactly right. I'd rather have you falling and screwing up and getting up and falling and screwing up and getting up and trying and learning than just sit on our butts and go, oh, well, we might fall down. You're going to fall down. You'll never learn if you don't. So we're going to screw up, but we're never going to learn if we don't try. And I am begging you, not for my sake or this church's sake, but for God's sake and your sake, find out what this passion, this thing that is above and beyond what you think you can do, and say, God, I don't want to die doing the normal deal. I want my life to make a difference, and I want to be able to see things happen that I cannot make happen. There's no way in the world I could have done it, so you get the glory. That's what He's after. That's what He deserves. And lives, not just yours, are changed all around you when you let it happen. For some of you, the greatest challenge, your greatest giant, is death itself. If you drop dead today, you're terrified. And every time you think of it, you run the other way. But somehow, some way, you're sitting here, you're hearing this message, and you think, you know, I got to do something about this death thing. Because if I die today, I don't have a clue where I'd go. I don't know what would happen to me. I'm afraid I do know what would happen to me. And I don't want to end up that way. And maybe today, for the first time, you hear that there's an answer, this giant called death. You say, you know what? I don't have to fear you because somebody already slaughtered you on a cross a couple of thousand years ago. And as 1 Corinthians 15 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It's over, guys. You don't have to fear death. Somebody already did the dying. And you go to that giant and say, never mind you. You go to God and say, I understand you sent your Son to live and die for me, and that He paid my way, was buried and raised from the dead to give me life abundant and life eternal. And I'm telling you, I'm here to get my gift. I'm here to redeem my gift. I'm giving you me, and I got nothing, and you got everything, but I'll take whatever you got. Live in me, live through me, change my life, change my eternity, and use me to do something that will not happen unless you do it. And it's that close. And in a minute, I'm going to pray that prayer. And while we're praying that prayer, if that doesn't apply to you, I'm going to ask you individually to say, God, I am not going to live and die this way. I want to know not what I can't do, but I want to know what you want to do and can do in and through me. I'm not going to let my life be a waste.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something with you about the program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a huge priority to us. And you can join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in, or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellis.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
All right, let's pray. And our Father, I pray especially right now for those people who are struggling with eternity itself. They don't know where they'd go. They don't know what to do about it. But today they've heard that Jesus loves them, died for them, was buried and raised from the dead to give them eternal and abundant life. And Father, a simple prayer they can pray is, God, I know that I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead to pay my way and to offer me this gift of eternal life. And right now, Father, I receive that gift freely. I have nothing to offer, no way to pay. I know it's a gift. And I ask you to come and live in me and through me and change my life, change my eternity. Let it be spent with you. And use me, God, to make a difference. And Father, for those Christians in this room or under the sound of my voice who are just screwing around with their lives and pride and sophistication and rebellion and whatever it is that gets in the way, Father, sin, I pray that today we'd come clean and just say, Father, I can't run anymore, and I'm screwing my life around, and I don't want to live this way anymore, and I don't want to die this way. And if I keep this up, my life will make no difference, and the things I'm doing and involved in are messing up my life and the people around me. Nobody's going to see you through me because of it. And I repent, I change my mind, and I'm going to stop saying what I say is right, and I'm going to say what you say is right, God, and go that way. Father, I pray that people would talk to you today, the living God, and make decisions that don't just affect them, but affects so many people around them who will never make it unless they get right with you. And again, you're not an awesome God, you are the awesome God. And we love you and we thank you and we praise you today for who you are and what you've done. And we pray it in Jesus' name who makes it possible. Amen.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. So give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Or through our website, richardellis.com, by sending an email to us so we can stay connected with you. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or through the website, richardellis.com. Your story needs to be heard, and we're listening, caring, and encouraged. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support to join us on our mission to reach the planet. We can't do it alone and need your help on this mission. RichardEllis.com. So till next time, have a great day and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.